God did some things in Penticton while we were away. A group from our church went down, and some of it was pretty incredible life transformation. I mean, deepening in God. God really, I mean, captivating our hearts. And we just felt that it would be good for you to hear. So I'm just going to open it up to those who went. And whoever wants to come first, come first. And except for you, Chris, you're going to be last. Corbin.
I think I'm only going first because I really want to see what Chris wants to say. Just want to get it over with, right? It's pretty amazing. It's real, is all I can say, really. It's easy to go to a conference, it's easy to go to a church, it's easy to go to places where people believe the same thing. But to have Jesus come and be the center of it all, that's when it becomes hard. It seems as though for me, going down there, it was a totally different experience. I've been to a few of them. And you kind of see the same people, see the different team members and meet new people. I got to stay with a guy. But there's something different about it. Something where God was just trying to really, really drawing close in a way that has almost never been done before, I guess. And it's beautiful. I took more notes. Not that that's important, but in some way it is important about Jesus. Just the centrality of who Jesus is and who our King is. And we're His. One thing that really affected me, we were worshiping, and this one song, I think it's called Oceans or whatever. One of the lines in it is, I am yours and you are mine. And there's this ownership, a two-way ownership. And just from that, for me anyways, almost like God saying, just like He said, it is finished. And we were driving back to Terrace, and I just kind of looked over on the highway, and there's this point overlooking just a different mountain range or whatever. The sign said Muster Point. Muster. And it just really impressed upon me for myself, and I don't know if this will speak to anybody else, but it's almost as though we're on the edge. We're standing on the edge of Muster Point. We're trying to do something. We're trying to get something going. But we can't do it. I believe God was speaking to me in that point is that just that, He can't do it. Only He can do it. So we've got to step off of that muster point and get into the presence of Jesus where it's real and where things actually happen. When we get together as a church, we try a lot. We really, really try a lot. And we fail. We fail each other. We fail our community. We fail our families. And that's at muster point. So I really felt God just sharing, just get off of muster point. Get into my presence. That's real. Rely on me. Look at me. And that's the King that we serve. Beautiful. Amazing. Like how can we not look at Jesus in His glory? And in relationship, in a real relationship with Jesus. It's beautiful. And honestly, I would say to people who feel like they're at that point, get off. Look at Jesus. Really, really look at Jesus. It's life-changing.
Amen. So I'm going to call on two together. I'm going to call on Cassandra and Leilani to come in just a second. Just hang tight. Just to let some of you know what we actually went to. This was the Western Canada. We call it a geographical training time for our team. many number of churches in Western Canada that are all running together with the same vision, same heart. And so there were team members and churches and whatnot. But one exciting thing that happened was the leader of another team called the ACOP, Apostolic Churches of Pentecost, and a number of his pastors came for the entire weekend. And our team met with their team, built relationships. And it was an amazing thing. You know, there was love and honor and just the receiving of each other, and it was remarkable. The speakers were Ty Daniels, who leads our team worldwide, was there, and also Craig Mayer from Johannesburg. He's a leader of a church in Johannesburg, and so the two of them spoke, and the primary thing that was spoken about was the King and His Kingdom. Girls, come together.
She wants me to go first, so I'll go first. It was a really good week. We were there for actually 2.5 weeks, so we got more. But I just really feel like when I was there, I constantly heard about Jesus and Jesus and Jesus and Jesus and Jesus and Jesus. And then I was like, okay, I think I'm getting something. I think I'm supposed to dig into Jesus because that's basically all it's about. But like Tyron said, what they were giving us was a secondhand revelation. It doesn't become a firsthand revelation until it impacts you. And when it impacts you, it changes you. And when you change, you don't go back, because when you meet Jesus, how can you go back? You've met the King. You've met what your purpose is all about. We were created for His glory. And one thing that keeps coming to me when I was there, it was all like, it's not about me. And then my whole entire life here was like, oh, I feel so good being in His presence. I feel so good doing this. I feel so good doing that. Oh, I'm so hurt. I'm not going to do that. And it's always so self-focused. It's always so self-centered. And Jesus is like, it's not about you. It's about me. And I'm like, wow. And how do we do that? How do we make it off of us and focus completely on Jesus? And the thing is, it doesn't even have to be like, oh, I have to do it. It's just, you let go. And you just say, God, capture my heart. Take hold of me. Because once He has your heart, once you become one with Jesus, you're going to just be like Him. It'll be impossible not to want to be like Him. And when I was driving back, I was actually going through a little bit of a hard time and struggling a little bit with things. And like, I had a hard time loving. I had a hard time letting go and loving. And I'm like, how could I love people when I don't want to love people? And I just was getting into this darkness of like, I don't want to love. I don't want to love. And how can you love someone who hurt you so much and stuff like that? And then Jesus was just speaking to me a little bit, just a little bit, and then I was just like, I just need to know who You are, Jesus. And then I went to bed last night, and I'm like, Jesus, I just like let it all on the line. I'm like, I need to know who You are. I need You to tell me who You are. And I'm like, God, please. And I asked, and it even says in the Word, those who ask will receive. And I'm like, Lord, I'm asking You. And I went to bed thinking, He's not really going to answer me. He'll be like, you know. But then I hear this knock on my door, and it's like, my parents come in and like, can we pray for you? And I'm like, what? I'm like, can we pray? And I'm just thinking, I'm like, I just asked Jesus to show me who He was. And He did. He used us. God uses each and every one of us because we are His vessels. So He's going to use us to go up to someone and say, I love you. How can I help you? How can I serve you? How can I encourage you? Let me encourage you, because you are valuable, you are worthy, you are meaningful, and God died for you. John 3:16, how much does our God love us? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. It begins with Jesus. And it ends with Jesus. And then when you die, you go to be with Jesus. It's just all about Jesus. And I constantly heard Jesus, and that's the kind of Jesus He is. It's the kind of God He is. He's the one that does, I'm hurting, but am I really that valuable? And He's like, you're valuable. I love you, he goes and does the simple thing. When he saw the woman caught in adultery, he didn't judge her, persecute her. He had every right to stone her. But he went up to her and he said, where are your accusers? And I don't accuse you. And she saw him and she met him. And she went forth and she sinned no more. When he saw Zacchaeus, he was in a tree and no one noticed him. No one likes him. The world hated him. Jesus looked up and said, I see you, Zacchaeus. I do not define you by your sins. I define you by your heart, and I see you. And Zacchaeus saw Jesus. And when you meet the Jesus who he is, Zacchaeus changed because he captured that heart. When he went, and I'm not sure what disciple it was, but he went into the water, and the disciple came back from fishing and caught nothing. And instead of going out and being this big thing, Jesus took the time, sat in the boat, and went out to sea and said, throw your net over. That person was valuable to Jesus. He was there for 3 years, and he took that time to spend with that person. Jesus is going to take that time that you have on this earth, and you don't have a lot of time on this earth. But the time you do have, spend it with Jesus, because it's the only thing that's worth living.
This trip has been amazing, and on my way there I was so nervous, and I was just like, I don't really know this group that much, and it was just like, I didn't feel like I was like full and like in it, and I felt God speaking to me just, loved, and you're here for a reason. And even though I wasn't, we didn't have that full relationship that Cassandra has with everybody else, and that, like, just how everybody's so, like, in, and it's just, like, locked in, I still felt that. And when God said that to me, I was able to just, like, the gates are open, and I was able to look at them through the eyes that Christ saw me. And it was beautiful, and I was able to love them. The way that Christ loved me. And it took a while for me to come out of my shell and to really just realize that it's not about me. And the same thing, it was funny, the first thing that was said to us was, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about any of us, it's about Jesus. Cassandra said it. It's true, amen to that. There's just so much that God showed me, and I was thinking this morning and last night, I'm just I don't know, I have no idea what I'm going to say. I'm not even going to write it down. I went through my notes again. I'm like, maybe I'll just get something from what I wrote down. And now I went through it, and I'm like, it's all still so new. It's different right now than it was a couple days ago when I wrote it. It was just so different, and it's fresh, and that's what we have to pray for every single day, every moment. Just be aware that there is a spiritual warfare, and we have to be so aware of that, and you have to be careful, but you still, that's when God gives us joy, too. You don't have to be scared. So that's what God was speaking to me, and there was a time during the trip when I was just I was closed off, and I was just I feel crappy because one of my friends, she wanted to commit suicide, and she's actually family to me. And it was it was bothering me. So I was down there, and I want to enjoy this, and God, you have me here for a reason. So how am I supposed to enjoy this when all of that's going on at home? And I was just how do I do this? And that's when Cassandra, I didn't even say anything to her, but she looked at me, and she's like, Leilani, how are you? And she was just trying to get it out of me, you can see it. And I was just I don't want to tell her because I don't want to ruin it for her too. And so I was like, maybe I'll just keep this on myself, and then I'll just hold on to it for myself, and I won't tell anybody. But that's what God calls us to do. That's what the whole body is for. We're all used for our purposes, and we're all here to help each other. And when we carry it on ourselves, then it's impossible. Like, we're all here to help each other, and that's what God was teaching me. And so I opened up to her, and I shared it with her, and she helped me, and we prayed, and she gave me a word, and it was just amazing. And I was able to pray for that girl, my friend, and she thanked me for it, and her mom thanked me for it. And it was pretty bold, and I was scared to share it because other people saw what I posted, but it was all for Jesus. That's it. It wasn't for me. I didn't even, that's what it is. It's like, you don't have to care about what anybody thinks because it's so not about you. That was one thing too that Tyrone spoke was, like, we all need Jesus. Everybody does. Like, the most rich, like, celebrity, like, the person who's just so successful in life, they're so empty without Jesus. So that was so encouraging, because me, I just feel like I felt so low and so just so small. And that's what he said, like, everybody needs Jesus. You just turn them to Jesus, like, look up and see him, and it all disappears, like, all of that stuff that the enemy's throwing at you. And he also said that, like, everybody needs Jesus. So rich people follow Jesus, poor people follow Jesus, you're happy, follow Jesus and praise him, like, have joy in him. We're okay, it's okay to have joy in him. You're scared, follow Jesus. No matter what, just follow Jesus. That's what we learned. And it was just like, wow, like, it's so simple and clear. And I was expecting, like, I thought I was gonna have to share something like flashy and just all the next best idea out there or whatever, like, what did God speak to me? It's gotta be amazing revelation. But it wasn't, it was just clear. And yeah, I think I've shared that.
Sam, do you want to say something? And then I'm going to get Mosette to come. And Elon just land.
Forgive me, I'm tired. If I keep my eyes closed, I'm not trying to ignore you. I'm resting my eyes. A lot of highway. I had a conversation with Mike on the way home. He asked me a question. What's wrong with this person? Because they were in a trap. And my answer is, my revelation is a proper understanding of Jesus is the one you will live out. Who is Jesus, and how do you live that out? It's pretty simple, pretty hard, impossible. But with Jesus, all things are possible. Even standing up, sitting for 15 hours in a truck.
Down on the floor. Hebrews 1:3, it says, the sun is the radiance of God's glory. The sun is the radiance. Not us, not what we do, not our church, not the people, but the sun is the radiance of God's glory. And our motivation, my motivation, needs to be his glory. And there is many things said. I mean, I take copious amounts of notes. But one thing that, a few things that were said was, my tyrant said, stay the course. Don't be distracted. we can be pulled off course so easily. And you know, even leaders in the church, pastors, we can be pulled off course. God actually gave Mike a dream a little while ago about being distracted even with people. And do you know what? Your needs are not the most important. Me serving and following Jesus and obeying Jesus is the most important. I am a lover of people, but I want to be a lover of God first. I want to be a lover of Jesus first. And you know, even when Lazarus died, and Martha said to him, Jesus, if you would have been here sooner, she had an agenda for Jesus. Jesus, if you would have been here sooner, he wouldn't have died. Jesus didn't respond. He comes when he wants to. He doesn't come in our agenda. He doesn't do what we want him to do. Jesus does what he wants to do. And you know, one of the other things that Tyron said, he said, we often say, God, I want to know what your will is for my life. Wrong question. We need to find out what Jesus is doing and just fall in line with what he's doing. Jesus has already put in the scriptures, in his word, much of what he's doing. We just need to find out what he's doing and get involved with it. Not just do our own thing and ask Jesus to bless us, but Jesus is about so much. It should be my meat is to do the Father's will. We heard lots this weekend about not just knowing Jesus, but being a follower of Jesus. And following Jesus never, ever leads to a safe and comfortable life. You've heard everybody here today say so far, it's not about them. It never was about us. The church is not about us. We think it is. We think, okay, what do the people need? What do whatever? And we can be distracted about that. It's about Jesus. It's about lifting him higher. It's about raving about him and people being drawn to him. We can try and manipulate all we want, and it'll get us nowhere. It's about Jesus. And I'm saying this today, I am responsible for my own heart, not yours, not how you respond to God. You know, I always want to come and I want to make it better and fix everybody. But you are God's workmanship. This isn't our church, it's Jesus's church. He said, it's my church, and I will build my church. And we need to get in line with that. And that's all I have to say.
Well, my friends, you know... Do I cry first or later? I'll need it. You know, like Corbin said, it's all about Jesus. It's all about, we went there, it's all about Jesus, it's all about the kingdom. And God gave me this vision of a great big light. My love, the sun, you know that. But he gave me this picture of a great big light looking, shining on me, and enthralled it. The conference, the equip time, it was like I was just crying and I believe in you, Jesus. I know you're the King. I know you're the Lord. You know, I believe. And I'm under this light, and it's like making me cry, because then I'm so transparent, and you could see, wow, look at all the doors I've taken. I've gone through some wrong doors here. I made a wrong turn. Not only make a wrong turn, but I made the wrong turn. And then I'm finding myself like, but the light is over there. I can see the light. I still believe in the light. It's still shining over there, but out of a sudden, you start walking over one door, well, I'm old now, I mean, I could do it. Or, I should understand that. And you take it in your hands. And it becomes about you. And when it becomes about you, it's like, it gets confusing. It gets dark. It gets lonely. It gets like you're drowning and you don't realize it. You get skinnier and skinnier. So, I still believe the light is over there, you know? And then God is just so loving. He says, stay under the light. Return. He loves us. He just cares about us so much, even though we kind of take our own turn, and it's fine. So that was one of the big things that God showed me. The other thing was the word they, T-H-E-Y. They prayed. And he told a story about Peter. You know, when he was in jail, and the saints were praying and fasting and believing that Peter is going to get rescued somehow. And even though when he came to the door, he went at the door, opened the door, and said, that must be his angel, it can't be Peter. And then he closed the door. They were believing, but were they following? You know, and I find myself like often believing, but am I following? You know, I believe this is the great man that God gave me, but I'm having a hard time following him. You know? Honestly, it's a battle sometimes. I am so argumentative. But that's true. And then, you know, God, I'm putting it at your feet because this is, you know, I partner with God, and then God, I know he gave me this man. I prayed and he spoke to me audibly, this is the man you're to marry. And I made myself more pretty, and he opened the door, yoo-hoo, I love you now. Way back then, God told me I'm supposed to marry you. What happened to you? Nevertheless, you know, and sometimes you realize along the way, are you sure, God? Did I hear well? Oh my goodness, I don't like this. I don't like where I am. That's right, grow up. You know, partner with him as well, 100%, not 80 or 70 or 2 or not at all. Partner with him 100%. This is where there's life, it's a covering. You know, so we partner with God, we partner with who God gave us, and with each other. You know, it's like, you are a part of me, I'm a part of you, we are one in him. So they prayed together, they were one. Something happened, I was saying, wow, they didn't even believe. That they believed that it was an angel instead of the real guy that they were praying for. So I thought, wow, not so bad after all, but it's not about me, wow. So thank you, Jesus. So partnering with God and with who God gave us to cover us and watch over us, hold our hands, so that we don't go through the wrong doors, even though sometimes you go through the wrong doors and you say, see, I'm here. But really, that nya-nya to you, get up, grow up, and go beside and lock in and run, you know? So that was the partnership was another one that God ministered to my heart. And another one was the story of Barnabas. My goodness, you know, son of encouragement, you know, you find, wow, how much do we encourage that we're so focused on ourselves, you know, because we're getting some wrinkles, or we're losing our memory, or whatever it is, you know, however, to really encourage one another. You know, and how do we follow? We stay under the light. And I find that following not necessarily mean walking a direction. It might mean just staying under the light, and I'm following because I'm going to hear where I'm supposed to go. If I'm supposed to go right or left or straight. You know, and sometimes you think I'm going to follow, and then you follow your ways, and that's where we fall into the valleys or over the cliff. So we must keep our hearts. This is return, keep your heart. And encourage one another, you know. And then God was showing, it starts right in our home, you know, to encourage one another. And because, you know, when the thing about Peter too that God was showing is that he was in jail, chained. They were praying that they would get, you know, somehow the miracle, and then he would be free, and it happened. But you know, how many times do we realize that we pray, this is our family, we pray for one another so that we could be free of, you know, chains. You know, we all have our own chains and, you know, captive. And we are responsible to pray and love one another and encourage one another so that we could better than ourselves, because it's not about us, that Jesus in you can do it, so our chains could be broken, so that we could be free. So that we could be free to shine Christ, like the Sabbath says, it's not about us, you know, it's about Him, the author and finisher of our faith. And He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto us. Well, what are all the things? What things? What does that mean to us? You know, some things to you might be something different for you, you know. So we need to know what are the things God has for us, because life is short. Starting to realize that, you know, I've always looked back and, wow, I have more than half my life gone. Hello. You know, it's like, oh no. But it's all about God working through us, being His vessel for His glory. Love you guys.
Thank you. It's so good to hear my wife talk like that. I enjoy going out to these things. I like to see the kingdom of God and how it operates. We went, just to share a little bit, we went to a church of 20 people. That's their home church. It's about 20 people. That's what somebody told me. It could be wrong, but somebody in that church told me that. So, you know, there's 20 people in this local church. There's a beautiful pastor and his wife that pastor that church. They have a heart for God. There was over 100 people there. Those people came from all over the world to be there in a church of 20 people. That alone impacted my life. It impacted me in a way that is amazing. Then there's four sessions. So there's a lot of stuff coming together to do four sessions. Four sessions. What could get done in four sessions? Well, Tyron stood up, first session, preached Christ. He preached Christ for the whole session, and I'm listening and I'm going, you know, I'm getting a little inkling of Christ. Second session, preached Christ. I'm getting a bigger picture of Christ. Third session, preached Christ. I'm seeing a great, big, robust Christ. And the work of God here in this little town, in this little church, and all those people are going to go back to wherever they came from with that vision. Well, I was there because I had sidelines, no rabbit trails, no paths to go running down, no ideas to question. When you preach Christ, there's nothing to argue about. Like, I went to Tyron and I said, you're preaching safe messages here. Because he's like, there's nothing to say. He preached Christ to us. And so Christ is huge in front of me by the end of the third session. It's huge. And I'm going, I want to go to Jesus. Because he's just, the Christ that I serve was presented to me in such a largeness that it changed me and it enlarged me in it. And what I was missing was showing up. And then between me and Christ was an altar. And I couldn't get to Christ unless I passed the altar. And on the altar, you have to lay down your stuff. You have to lay down your stuff. Because what I heard was this. We believe, we are Christians, we have faith in Christ, we are saved, we're going to heaven. We're believers, but we're not all followers.
not followers of Christ. And there loomed the obstacle. There was Christ. I want to go to Jesus. I didn't want to go to Jesus more than I ever had in my past. But in order to go with Jesus, I had to lay down on the altar. That was the only way. And that's what spoke to me so clearly. The busyness of this life, the cares of this world, the issues that we face on a daily basis, the stresses and the pressures of life needed to go to the altar. And they needed to stay there. And we needed to pick up, like what Mose shared, what God's doing. What's your will for me today? My goodness. We know his will. You know, I'm to love my wife. That's his will. You know, I'm to serve God with my life. That's his will. I'm to love my wife. That's his will. You know, I'm to be a man of integrity and honesty in my business. That's his will. I'm supposed to share that wonderful gospel that saved me with others. That's his will. You know, we know his will. We can get busy about our Father's business. That's what the Lord really imparted to me. And I am so, so glad that I went.
I just want to share a scripture. If a person doesn't know Jesus, they have no idea what we're talking about. But, I mean, Jesus was a man who lived however many years ago, you know. Maybe he was something, maybe he was a prophet, maybe he was whatever. To hear people talk like this is weird. Jesus is everything. The whole purpose of our existence is to know him and experience him, that all of life is centered on him, that everything in the universe is for him. I'll read you a passage so that you understand what these guys are saying is not just a bunch of, you know, good feelings. Okay, this is Jesus. Okay? Giving thanks to the Father who has made us able to be partakers of his inheritance in light. He delivered us from the power of darkness. He translated us into the kingdom of his Son. In whom, in his Son, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And he, this is what he is. He is, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That's the first to be raised from the dead. For by him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, so that in all things Jesus might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Jesus should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, to reconcile, to return us all, to bring us all back unto Jesus. This I say, whether things in earth or things in heaven, you who sometime were far off, you were alienated, you were enemies because of your wicked works, now the Father has reconciled you to himself through Jesus Christ. There's another passage that says, we are complete in him. Now, I'm going to say this to any of you here today. Maybe you have never experienced this. It's like you're listening to something you know nothing about. I want to say to you, and all of us experience this, every person alive experiences an emptiness that we don't know why it's there. We try all kinds of different things. We try relationships, we try work, we try pleasure, we try all these things to somehow deal with the emptiness of our soul. And I want to say to you today, God made you so that the only thing that will reach the, your soul is the thing that you were created for, which is to know him, to experience him, to have him come into your life, and to have your life altered, the direction altered, from serving yourself and serving the things of this world to serving the only one who is really worthy of your life, Jesus Christ. Chris? Now, what you're going to hear is a little different. And I want to warn you right now, because, you know, God speaks in different kinds of ways, but sometimes God grips a person in a way that their life will never be the same again. And so, and I'm just preparing you that sometimes that happens.
I really don't even need to come up and say anything else. The testimonies have been incredible. Like Leilani, I went home last night and I picked up my phone because I took all my notes on the phone so I could send them to Christy over the weekend. And I opened up the session and I was like, hey, what can I share? And then I closed it. I'm like, nope, I need fresh manna. I can't do that. I can't review the notes, and I need to hear from God. So I waited for Christy to get home. She was out gallivanting as per usual. And I shared with her. I've shared the testimony now 4 times, and I can tell you that each time it's been completely different. I can't put into words what God has done. The first thing I did last night after Christy and I shared, well, I shared with Christy, sorry. I went to bed and I said, "Okay, God, you know what? I just need you. I don't care about anything else. I just need you, Jesus." And I said, "You know, I'm really tired. Can we go over this in the morning?" And I slept. I said, "You know, I want to wake up early, Father. I need to spend time with you." And I woke up at 4 in the morning. And I said, "God, please, not yet." You know, I can't. And then I woke up at about 5:30, and I said, "Still, I'm not ready." And I woke up at 6, and so on. And finally, I got out of bed at about 8:30, and I just soaked in his presence. I tried to read my Bible, and I couldn't. I put on a worship album with some headphones. I tried to sing. I couldn't. The words aren't there. I don't know what to tell you. I do know that the first thing I want to say is I'm sorry. I truly am. I've been a Christian for 20 years, and I have always believed in Jesus. I have always. He has been my heart. He has been my joy. I've never been happy anywhere but in the presence of God, ever. I've served in leadership in one form or another for probably 15 years in this church. And as a deacon of this church, it's my job to help the elders. And Tim, I've already apologized to Mike, Mo, and Jolene, and I want to ask you guys forgiveness because I haven't helped you. And to the body of Christ, I haven't helped you. I've been selfish, and I have been inward focused for so long. Many of you know, I hate crying. Many of you know that I'm a guy who, like Shazlen already said, but Barnabas. I believe that's one of my gifts. I'm an encourager. And for years now, I haven't been an encourager. I've been selfish, and I have been lying to myself. Rod, you can testify this. I'm a guy who tells you like it is. I don't sugarcoat things. I just do. This is what I do. But I have, for now, several years, sugarcoated myself. I have pretended to be something that I'm not. I've worn a mask, and I can't stand that. It sickens me. I hated myself because of it. And I pretended I didn't know what it was. I pretended I didn't know that I was putting on another mask. I pretended I didn't know that I was hiding who I was. I still shared, you know, I shared with Dave, I shared with those that asked, but I said, I can't put a finger on what's bugging me. I can't tell you what I'm feeling, and I couldn't. I didn't know because I had been lying to myself for so long that
I didn't know who I was anymore. I didn't know who or what I was doing. I didn't know anything. And, you know, this weekend, I didn't want to go. I really felt like God said, too bad. I really felt, you know, like I wrestled with it. I pretended that financially we can't afford it. You know, I threw every excuse I could at it. And I know that it was a God thing. I know that he wanted to have an encounter with me. And, you know, it was an incredible encounter. Like I said, I've been saved for 20 years. I have always believed in Jesus. And there's been times when I've followed, but I feel like I've been saved for the first time, and I know that's ridiculous, but I feel like the revelation I have of Jesus Christ right now, there's nothing that compares to it. Nothing. I can't look back. I can't look to the left. I can't look to the right. All I want is Jesus. You know, Jesus is my number one. He always has been, but I've lied to myself. I've fooled myself and thought, I can do this. I'm big and strong. But I'm not. I'm weak. I'm feeble. I can't do anything without Christ. I honestly can't even put the words together that are in my head right now. All I want is Jesus. You know? That's it. Nothing else. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what that's going to look like. I'm afraid of how I'm going to respond. Because I'm a fool. Really, I don't know. I need my strength to be in Christ. And it's in Christ alone that I need to be. You know, I haven't been a good father. And I'm sorry. I haven't been a good husband. I haven't led my family, and I haven't led the church the way I'm supposed to. I haven't been a good friend. Jesus. Jesus. I don't know what else to say.
Can I say something? Just about this. There's a passage in the Bible that says, except a seed fall into the ground and die, there's no life. And when you spoke, that's my testimony. Exactly the same testimony. And it happened to me when I was about your age. I woke up one day, I was going through a divorce, and God revealed that to me. I'd been a Christian all my life, and one day, my seed fell into the ground and died.
Yeah.
And when that happened, I became a man of God.
Yeah.
And I believe that that is what happened to you. So that's God's word to you.
Thank you. He couldn't have said it. I couldn't have said it better myself. That's how I feel. I feel like a new man. I honestly do. I feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders that I cannot express. I can't tell you how in love with Jesus I am right now. I am not a crier. I am not a crier. I have no problem crying for God. I could probably tell you the five other times in my life I've cried. I feel like a new man. I feel like we were joking around in the car. I feel like Shrek, you know, donkey's trying to figure out Shrek, and I said, ogres are like onions. I feel like the layers are being peeled back, and there has been revelation after revelation after revelation from God, and that's why every time I share this, it's different. And again, it's different. It's not the same. I can't script what God is doing. I can't. I'm not a man of words, per se. You know, I don't have an extravagant vocabulary, but God through me, right? That's all I want. I just want Jesus. I don't care about anything else. You know, my number one is Jesus, and that's it. You know, I love my wife. I love my son. I love my daughter. I love this body. You guys are my family. It's truly, you are my family. But I don't care. All I want is Jesus, and I want you to follow me. I can't go anywhere but for him. You know, like, it just rocked my world beyond comprehension. Seriously. Beyond comprehension. I can't figure it out. I'm still freaking out, you know? I can't do it. I'm hearing songs for the first time. Songs that I've known my whole life. I'm seeing scriptures that I've read. I've studied the Bible like you wouldn't believe. And I'm an idiot. I don't know any of it. I don't care about the theology. All I care about is Christ. That's it. That's all I care about. You know, I've walked in theology and I've walked in the Spirit, but I've never walked in the theology and or in the Word and the Spirit. Now I want to walk in Jesus. That's what I want. That's all I want. I just want Jesus Christ. That's it. And you know, I covet your prayers because I know that the enemy is going to come at me like a hurricane. I know, but I don't care. I don't care. I don't want to be comfortable. I don't want to be safe. I just want to be in Jesus' presence. That's it. That's all I want. I really felt to close off what we're saying. I'm sure Mike will probably get up afterwards, but it's okay. Yeah, we don't. But I really felt to close off with a song, and I told Adam when I got here, I said, I want this to be loud. I don't want it to be obnoxious so people get out of the room, but I want it to be loud so you can hear and feel it. And Chrissy's going to put the words up, or Matt, whatever. But I just want to worship God in this song. And you want to share first?
I do.
Good.
Because we are going to close off with that song. But before we do that, I just want to summarize everything that we heard this week with a passage of scripture, and then we'll listen to the song. The biggest thing that we caught, and there were many, many things, but the biggest thing we caught is there's a huge difference between believing in Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. That was it. And what happened to Chris was he was a believer in Jesus, but not necessarily always a follower. And this passage blew me away. And I think all of us. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said to Jesus, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And what he was saying was, do you really want to follow me? Do you understand who I am and what my life is like? You see, if you want to follow me, this is where I go. There are times that I have no place to lay my head. I don't have a place to stay. The cost of what I am called to be and do in this earth it costs me everything. All the comforts. All the things that I enjoy, could enjoy in life. And he said to that man, this is the reality of what it means to follow me. And then then Jesus said to another, the first man says, I will follow you. Then he goes to somebody else and he says to that person, follow me. And that man said, Lord, before I follow you, let me go first and bury my father. Now, one of the things we learned this weekend, that's not talking about his dad had just died, and it was a funeral. What the guy was saying was, I have an inheritance that's coming to me. before I follow you, I want to wait until my dad dies and get my inheritance. When I have enough money and I have enough whatever, when I have a good job, when I have all the things in my life in place, then I'll follow you. I can't follow you right now. There are some things that I need to do before I'll follow you. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. Something more important than receiving all these things in this world. And then another said, Lord, I will follow you. But first let me go and bid farewell to those who are at my home and at my house. And Jesus said, no man, have putting his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And Chris said it in his own words. He says, I love my family, I love my children. I love my wife, I love my family, I love my grandchildren, I love you guys, but there's something first, something that's more important. And it means that I choose Jesus above everything. I choose him above all things. And my wife gets incredibly blessed along the way. And my grandchildren get to see a granddad who lives for Jesus. And my people, our church, gets to see me come under the power of God and have God change me from who I am into who Christ is. And God does something through our lives.
Found, and he is my light, my strength, my song.